This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
Hey folks, it's Vince the Evil DM back with another edition of the Roll for Initiative mini podcast, the RFI minis. This time the format's going to be a little bit different because I have some voicemails. Yay! Carl from the Save or Die podcast, the host of Save or Die podcast, along with Crispy. But Carl has called in and left me some feedback voicemails on some of the shows that I've done. And I wanted to talk about them, so and put the voicemails here on the podcast, talk about those things, because I said, if you leave a voicemail, I will address it. Also, thank you to those that have given me the positive comments and those that have been downloading, because, my God, I didn't know people really missed Roll for Initiative that much, because there's been a huge spike in listenership for me here on my podcast. And it's amazing. I didn't really think when we dropped the show, pretty much, I had no idea that that many people would be upset about it. I understand the show was on for 11 years, but our numbers were dwindling, so we made the decision to stop based on that. So I guess some time away, some people decided they wanted to come back. I don't know. I am appreciative of those people. I mean, there are a lot of downloads. I'm just waiting now for people to give me some feedback. Voicemails, some possible iTunes ratings. Remember, 5-star reviews get you that red on the air. All right, let's jump right into it. Here is a voicemail by Carl.
Hey, Vince, this is Carl. I wanted to call in about the abilities episode of the RFI Mini. I'm happy to see those back. It's cool hearing you talk about old school D&D. I think the reason why those rules exist for bumping two stats to 15 is because during AD&D's creation, tournaments were a big part of TSR's business model. And a tournament requires at least some level of fairness, and I imagine that's why that rule exists. So when everybody's rolling up characters for a tournament, everybody has at least two 15s, they have somewhat good stats for doing what they want to do, and it allows for a fair experience, where rolling stats is fairly chaotic. I think that's why those rules exist. I don't remember ever using those in my home games. I'm not sure if anybody else did, but I think it was there for tournament play.
All right, Carl, thanks for that voicemail. Good point. I did not think about the tournament aspect of AD&D 1E because originally the rules were intended for tournament play. And having 215 makes sense to go with the whole RPGA type thing and, organized play. You want to have a certain amount of stats for your character with his attributes at a certain level so your character will survive in tournament play. And now that you say that, it makes perfect, absolute perfect sense, Carl. And I don't know why I didn't think, probably because I don't think of, I've been playing 1E for so long, and it's a game that I've always played, that I never thought of 1E as a tournament edition, even though that's what it was made for. I've always thought of 1E as just, an AD&D 1E game that I enjoyed. And in fact, when we were kids, we always teased one another about when we played Basic versus AD&D. We'd be like, oh, Basic is for babies and Advanced is for adults. You know how it is with kids, right? But yeah, it's the stuff we did. So I never really considered or even thought about in my mind when I saw that it's probably tournament rules that they had left in there. So thank you for pointing that out, Carl. I appreciate that. And let's move on to his next voicemail. And I do apologize that for Anchor. They only limit you to a certain amount of time per voicemail. And hey, why not? It's a free thing that you can use. If you want to send a longer voicemail to me so you can get all your thoughts in, you can always record it on your computer and upload it to a Google Drive and then email me and just with the link and I'll download it. That way it'd make it easier on you. But let's do another one from Carl.
Hey, Vince, it's Carl again. I also want to talk a little bit about female strength limitations in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I think it's important to mention when we have these conversations that in the very early parts of the player's handbook, there is a line from Gygax that says there will be no baseless limitations on female strength in these rules, but they are there. So the question is, was that meant to be removed? Was it changed their mind and they added it? We may never know. But I do want to talk about the realism aspect of this conversation. Yes, people with more testosterone have higher upper body strength. But how much does upper body strength really affect how well you can swing a sword or how lethal a sword is? If these rules exist to affect how good you are at combat, then that should be strength includes some sort of martial prowess, and those limitations should not be there.
All right. Thanks again, Carl. Yeah, there was a one-liner in there that did say that you know, there was never going to be a difference, but there it is. A glaring difference in male versus female strength and abilities. I honestly never knew why they did that. I mean, there's always been that notion of men being stronger or having more testosterone than women, that thus they're a more physical prowess person. I understand that. But it is a fantasy game, so I'm not sure why he did that. Now, some people, and I'm going on, you know, basically, I guess this will hit some political stuff, but I apologize. I don't know if it's maybe political, but Gary was a sexist, they said, and he did this on purpose. Now, I don't think he was, and I think he may have been basing it off of whatever studies at the time, much like how Palladium did their neurosis charts. They just based it off a bunch of studies at the time, got them in trouble for that. They had to change that. But I'm thinking that Gary just might have done it off some studies and thought it was logical. I know he was trying to make the fantasy game try to feel as real as possible, try to get as much realism in an imaginary game, which can work and can't work because it's a game. You can't expect someone to do this when you can't do that because it's a fantasy game. It just doesn't work. So as far as I remember it, when I would play this, we mostly ignored a lot of these rules. And I have played female characters, and I never took the negative drop in stats because, or the limit because, you know, no one really paid attention. Like, no one paid attention to dwarves can't be clerics. I don't know many people that actually played with that rule at all. Because I know I was a dwarven cleric plenty of times with the great Joe DM, and he was a very big stickler for rules, but he didn't care. It was all about playing and having fun. Right? That's all it's ever about. And as far as if we're going to talk about it, like Carl said, should there be some type of martial prowess in there? Yes, there should be something to show that if you have this or that, it should affect combat or how you swing a sword. I agree with you, Carl. There should be something, but there's not. And the game didn't go into details like that, like some other games have. Maybe the whole premise was supposed to be taken out and they left it in. I don't know. We'll never know, like you said. Gary has passed on. I'm sure someone brought this up at some point to him, and he probably has asked it somewhere, and someone listening out there would probably say, "Here you go, guys." But I don't have the answer, and I was unable to find something when looking around for this. There's so much stuff buried about what Gary said, it's this or that. So I would think someone like Luke Gygax might be able to answer that question. Maybe even Ernie Gygax. You could maybe defer to Frank Mentzer or maybe even Tim Cass. They would know. They worked very closely with Gary as editors, so they maybe would know something about that. And I would probably ask Frank, of all people. He seems to be the person that knows a lot more when it comes to how things were done due to the fact that he wrote an entire series of books with Gary's blessing and rule set. So I'm thinking he'd probably be the best person to ask. All right, well, thank you for the voicemails, Carl. If you want to leave a voicemail, head over to anchor.fm/TheEvilDM, and you can leave a voicemail. You can also go to TheEvilDM.com and click contact, and you can send me an email. AskTheDM@TheEvilDM.com is my email. Again, if you want to leave a longer voicemail than probably a minute, because I think Anchor cut you off in a minute, you can go directly to your computer and just record it and then email me a link of it up from your Dropbox or your Google Drive or your OneDrive. You share it, I can download it. And I will download it right away and I will get it up here and talk about things. You can support me by going to theevildm.com/support, or you can go to anchor.fm/theevildm and click support there. Don't forget to head to iTunes, give me a review. God damn it, it's not iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts. I keep saying iTunes. That's what we used to always say on RFI. Give me a 5-star review and I will read that on the air. I check those every once in a while, so I need to start checking them again. Ooh, yeah, I forgot. Okay. I'm going to head out another show. Again, these shows come out every couple of days, so I'm not doing it every day unless people demand it every day, which I have not seen, but numbers are proving really good. So with that said, I'm going to say keep it original, keep it old school, and good night, everybody.